Good morning and welcome to this week's episode of Trending. I'm your host, Ben Rogers, and I'm joined by Putnam County Highway Superintendent Randy Jones. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Ben.
So thankful you're here. We tried to hook up a little bit before, and scheduling for either one of us hadn't worked out, but I got you by myself. Last time I wanted to try to get you in with the Director of Schools and the Mayor, but we're going to get that up later on, probably during budget time. But you're the first Highway Superintendent I've had on, and I can't think of a better one to start with than you in Putnam County. And the main reason I want people to know, of course, I know most people know you, but I want people to know what your office does and what you do and your career. But mainly, I want all the people that listen to know about the functions of the highway department. Y'all do so much. You're responsible for so many things, and a lot of people may not understand everything you're doing for the county. And with all the discussions now in Putnam County focused on building a new jail, building a new school, what's the commission going to do? Your office kind of gets lost in the fray. Everybody kind of forgets about the highway department. So another reason I wanted to have you on, and, you know, the weather the last couple of weeks, it's been made you work a lot. So they're not forgetting about you too much.
The weather's been real tough on us in the last couple of weeks. Last week we had all the flooding with the 5 or 6 inches of rain that we had. And it's usually the same places that we know basically where we have to go without anybody calling. But we have areas that's down in the lower end of the county that's always flooded by the streams that runs right beside the roads. And when it gets up a little bit, it gets out in the road, and it just causes chaos for a little while.
Well, and you're on call 24/7.
24/7, we're on call. We keep two guys on call through the weekends that you call the sheriff's department, and they'll contact us if we have any kind of trees down or road blockage or anything major. Then we call out everybody and get things cleaned up.
So if you're listening and you have an issue on the weekend, a tree down in the road, something in the right of way that's blocking part of the road, or a little bit of flooding, or a tile that's stopped up, call the sheriff's office first on the weekend, and the sheriff's office will dispatch to your people on call, and then you'll get out to that area.
Yes. Okay. As soon as possible.
That's good to know. I want to talk a little bit more about the flooding and some of that stuff you've had to deal with, not only the last 2 weeks, but since you've been here. But I want to start, for everybody that don't know, how long have you been Highway Superintendent Putnam County?
This is my 11th year. I got elected in 2010, and I fulfilled the last part of Mr. Lamb's the elected part of his term, because he passed away, and I was elected, and they let me start in May of 2010.
Yeah, the county commission actually appointed you in May of 2010. The election was going to be in August of 2010, and you were already running, because Red was not running, and he was retiring. Unfortunately, he passed away on us. But you were appointed in May, and you officially became full-time in August after you won the election, and you've won ever since. And you've had an opponent every time, right?
Yes.
But you've been successful, and, of course, proud for you. I consider you a friend of mine, and we talk quite a bit. So 11th year, which will be your fourth term.
Yes.
And you got about 2.5 years left in this one, so we won't talk about what's next after that yet, unless you just want to. But what were you doing before you became Highway Superintendent, Randy?
I was in the construction business. My brother had a construction company, and that's what I've done most of my life is run equipment, build roads, and residential work, and throughout my lifetime.
So you just didn't show up to the election office and qualify with no experience whatsoever. And I want to talk about that right quick, because it's interesting, in county government in Tennessee, you're one of two offices that actually requires extra certifications or requirements, just other than being of age and being and living in the county. You've got to go through a certifiable process and approved by the Tennessee County Highway Officials Board before you can actually file papers to run.
Yes, sir.
What are those requirements? Do you remember? I know some of them, but I'm not sure.
You have to have a high school education, GED. You either have to have 4 years of road building supervision. And or 2 years of engineering with experience.
And I don't want to debate other offices with you because we talk all the time about qualifications for offices, but I am thankful at some point the legislature put requirements on this kind of position because it's so important. I mean, if somebody that has no experience in road maintenance or building roads or bridges or anything like that, they get elected, that could be dangerous for the county.
That's true. And now the election commission has the highway association has all of the 95 counties basically on the same level of qualification. The big counties are appointed to their positions with the road supervisors, but most of your small counties are still elected and everybody has the same qualification.
I'm glad you brought that up because counties across the state differ a little bit in structure. There's a few, and as you said, the big four, their highway administrator or public work director, as some people may, I think Knox County's the public works director, and what that means is he deals with the streets and other things. But there are a few counties across the state, rural counties, that actually have a structure where there's road commissioners that are elected.
And those
road commissioners that are elected actually appoint what they call a highway administrator, I guess. So the highway superintendent or highway administrator is not actually elected. They're appointed by a board that is elected. We don't have that here.
No.
In Putnam County. You, as we said, you ran for office. You got elected. You are the highway superintendent of Putnam County. You don't answer to anybody but the people.
That's true. That's my boss. The people we're talking to right now that vote.
That's right.
That's my boss.
The voters in Putnam County are the only ones you answer to. And, of course, we've talked about the confusion of some county commissioners think they're the boss, but really the only control they have is your budget. And that's minimum, really, and we'll talk more about that later, too, with your budget based on the county uniform highway law. We'll talk more about that later on as well. But I just think it's interesting that counties, what they do is they – for some reason, it's usually political. They decide they want more than one person in charge of the roads, and they do this road commissioner thing. And if you talk to other counties that are in that, and if you have, what have they said about that?
I have talked to a few, and most of them agree with it, but we have a few that's not as happy as others are. So, you know, it's about a 50-50, the ones that do like it are really satisfied.
And I imagine it's a little bit stressful on them that are appointed instead of elected because they're doing the same job you are, but they have 3 to 5 or 7 bosses that they have to answer to, and they got to worry about satisfying them, and it's real political, and you know, you upset the majority of that, you could be fired just like that.
That's true.
So that's the one of the downsides for the person, for the actual highway administrator in that structure of having road commissioners elect them. But the road commissioners are elected depends on the cycle. That's another thing I want to talk to you about on the election cycle in the state of Tennessee is different in some counties as well. It's not here in Putnam. You're elected the same year as the governor in what we call the general election. This year is not a gubernatorial election. It's not a county election in Putnam other than the assessor, but some county highway department or highway officials are elected in the same year as the assessor of property. That was a private act as well, I believe. The county changed that for their highway superintendent. Do you know why, Randy, that happened? Is it political? I mean, I don't, you know, personally, I'm a CTAS consultant and work with some of these people. I don't understand why the highway superintendent's not elected with everybody else.
I don't know, Ben, unless, you know, through the past, they may have had a supervisor or something that did like Mr. Lamb maybe pass away, and then they'd have a special election to elect somebody, and then it puts the sequence off 2 years. And, you know, it would be tough to be a running on a year where there's not many people and anybody on the ballot because it's hard to get people to come out and vote when you have the governor and everybody running, you know.
Yeah.
The election, the voters don't turn out like they used to.
That's so right. And that's a good point. If you're a highway superintendent running in the same year as the assessor, a non-gubernatorial election, then you may have half the turnout for the vote. And you and I talked about the assessor situation as well, and that happened years ago with the state. Obviously, an assessor or somebody got upset that about getting elected, and they wanted to – I imagine it's one of those things where they thought they might get beat in the election year and thought, well, let's get a private act and change it to two more years down the road. Don't understand that either. You and I talked, maybe the assessor and the mayor shouldn't be elected in the same year. Some people think that, or maybe the assessor and the trustee need to be elected in different years. I don't understand it. I know it costs the county money to have more elections, but it's one of those things where there's nothing we can do about it. And Putnam County don't have to worry about you being elected this year. You're up in 2 years, so it's okay the way it is now for us. But that's just interesting how things are different in highway departments across the state. I have one county that in my area and upcoming that has road commissioners. The Cannon County has road commissioners, and they, of course, appointed Wayne Hancock, does a great job, but that's the only county upcoming like that. So anyway, good conversation so far, informing the public about how things are different across the state. And when we come back, I want to talk about your budget a little bit and the tax increase last year. You actually benefited just a little bit from that with the commission, and talk more about your operations. You're listening to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. We'll be back shortly with my guest, Randy Jones, Putnam County Highway Superintendent. Welcome back to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. This is Ben Rogers, your host. My guest is Randy Jones, Putnam County Highway Superintendent. Randy, you got elected in 2010. You're working on your 11th year in office. You've done a fantastic job for this county. I appreciate you as not only a constituent citizen, but as a commissioner in my 6 year. And you and I have worked well together. We communicate well. You call me if you need something. I call you if I need help with a constituent. You've always been there for me. Last year, the budget cycle was a little bit different for Putnam County with raising taxes. But one thing, you did close fiscal year 2019 in the black, and that's not always like that. I think you had a little over $2 million in fund balance, but Mother Nature can really affect how you operate throughout the year. But you were able to be in the black, but there was an exception.
Yes, sir. Our reason we were in the black was we didn't get any asphalt, any paving done last year. Because of the Improved Act put more money into the budget for the state, and all of our big contractors that does our bidding, they'd rather go to work for the state and stay down there and lay several thousand tons to come to a county and lay 2,000 or 3,000. So,
well, for county government and for infrastructure in the county, the Improve Act, which was the increase in the gasoline motor fuel tax, was a good thing for highway departments, for infrastructure, for commissions, because, you know, commissions are some commissions will fund, and we'll talk about that more later, their counties with local revenue. Some of them don't. Some counties completely depend on the revenue from gasoline motor fuel tax. But the legislature tried to help the counties out. Do you think they ever thought about, you know, when they helped the counties and the state, that they'd run out of people to do paving and work?
No, they didn't think about that.
But, they didn't think that far down the road, did they?
But the, you know, the gas tax is basically what the highway departments are funded over with, and throughout the years, the gas tax hadn't been raised in several years, and the economy overtook our revenue was short for what we were having to pay out for our products. And I was for the gas tax. I was for that, but if it wasn't for the gas tax, I would be up a county commission begging for a tax increase, and most of the time that calls for a property tax increase. So I'd rather somebody that's traveling over the interstate be paying part of the price for the roads. It don't matter if you buy a gallon of gas in Memphis or if you buy a gallon of gas in Bristol, it all goes, the tax goes into the one pot, and then it's divided amongst the county and the state.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the opponents to the Improve Act was saying, well, you're taxing us. Well, everybody that's buying gas is going to get taxed the same, but the difference is, I called it a transient tax is what I called it, because people are coming through our state down I-40, coming north to south on 75 and 65. They're going to stop in Tennessee, and they're going to get gas, and that's going to help you and the state infrastructure. And so it was passed by a pretty good vote. But the downside of that, you have this money to use, Because the Improve Act gave you more money. You obviously want to improve your roads. That's what's called the Improve Act, and improve the infrastructure, and that can mean paving or oil and chipping, or as I used to say, tar and chip. There's just not enough people to do paving because they're all working for the state, because the state got money as well, and they're working on these bridges and interstates and state highways.
That's true. And we actually went into the paving business. We bought a paver and a roller and had trucks and stuff. So Putnam County does their own paving this year. You know, it's bad to miss one year that you don't have anything done, but you can't miss two. So, you know, I took part of the money that we didn't spend on asphalt and bought equipment and put us in the paving business. It's not a savings for us to do it because it takes so much labor and trucks for the county to do it, and, you know, so many people. And we could, I can hire it done as cheap, but if you can't get the people to come work for you, you know, you got to do something.
And yeah, because you're not, if you can't hire it out, you're not improving the roads.
That's true.
And you're there to make sure our roads are maintained. So I, as a commissioner, I understood that, supported you on that. And just to be clear, it is your equipment, it's the county's equipment, and your laborers, your employees are doing the work. You're having to buy the asphalt from somebody.
That's
but
true.
But you're laying it down with your equipment and your employees. Some counties actually have an asphalt plant.
There,
and I don't know if we ever even want to even bring that up. That's a very political subject, but they make their own asphalt.
That's true, but there's only two in the state of Tennessee.
Greene County and Haywood, maybe?
Haywood County,
I think.
They're the only two that do.
And that's a big process. That whole asphalt plan is, it's got to, there's a study that's got to be done actually by my agency, County Technical Assistance Service. You got to consider all the cost, the labor, the per ton cost, the transportation of it, all those costs, and they got to go before the legislature and the committee there and present, and they say yes or no, basically.
They say yes or no.
And the road builders don't like it.
And in our area here, if we tried to put in an asphalt plant, we would have to buy the sand and gravel from the people that does the paving too, because they own the quarry. So,
right.
You know, they would put us in a bind.
Yeah, that would. So you're doing your own paving, and I think it's a good thing. You instead of waiting for a vendor to come in and do some work for you, you can now do it with your office. And I think that's being progressive and trying to move forward as well. There's so much responsibility that comes out of your office. It's more than just paving a road. It's more than fixing a pothole. And you know that I worked for the highway department when I was younger.
Yes.
I think I was right before I turned 17 was my first summer working for aforementioned Red Lamb that we talked about earlier. Worked four summers there, two summers I was in high school, two summers in college. And I often say, since I started before I graduated high school, that was my first education, was working at the highway department. A lot of good people there, men and women. And Miss Brenda, who's still with you, was there when I was there, and love her. She does a wonderful job. She is a excellent budget bookkeeper, HR person. She does it all.
She's been there 27 years.
Yep, and so you're dating me a little bit too, Randy, but I was young and loved my experience there. I'll tell you what, it made me appreciate hard work. It made me appreciate exactly what goes on into a highway department, everything y'all do. So that was another thing about me being a commissioner. I was not new to county operations based on highway department. I actually lived it for four summers. It makes you appreciate sunscreen, a good vented hat, and
a cool creek every once in a
while. A cool creek every now and then, and good flags. If you're flagging on a road, a county road, and you have a good bright orange flag, people can see you. About lost my life a couple of times on Pippin Road and Diddy Road. Those are days that I do not want to relive when people just don't see you in the signs. But there's so much you're doing, Randy. What do you and your staff spend the most time on as far as services and operations of the highway department?
Well, in the summertime, we keep four crews out mowing the right-of-way every day. There's two tractors per crew, and it takes about a month to make a cycle from each crew has a area that they're assigned to, and it takes them about a month to make their cycle, and they go right back. By the time they get through, it's already start ready time to mow again.
So you can do that in a month?
Yes, that's great.
I didn't know that.
We can mow the county in a month.
Wow.
And then we keep what we call long-arm bush hogs out that mows the right-of-way way back, a lot of the trees and stuff. We keep a crew that's putting in tile, cleaning out tile, and I keep two crews doing that most of the time. And we have to do a lot of ditching, and now we have to keep our roads prepared for when we get ready to pave. So we then pothole patching this time of year. You know, I got two crews right now just patching potholes every day, and the faster you patch them, the more comes back, seems like. But we're trying to that goes back to our paving. We're going to try to eliminate some of these older roads. We have about 12 mile of gravel road in Putnam County still. So
yeah, I was going to ask you that too. So 12 miles, but that's decreased a lot. So when you started in 2010, how many miles of gravel did you?
I couldn't tell you how many we had.
It was a lot more than 12 miles.
Yeah.
Probably closer to 100, I would say.
No, it was about 30. Probably.
Oh, was it really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought it might be more than that. No. Some of them, you know, you can't get to and do anything with.
That's true.
They're on the side of the hill, down in the holler, as we say, side of the hill.
On the Creek bank,
and it's just tough to get pavement on that. When we come back, we're winding up this segment, but when we come back, I want to continue to talk about a little bit about the budget and the tax increase and some more of the services you provide, because like we said, you mentioned a lot, there's just so many things you're having to do, and talk about your personnel and your employees. Good information, Randy. I appreciate you. We'll be back just in a few minutes on News Talk 94.1 FM at 1600 AM. Welcome back to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. This is Ben Rogers. I continue visiting with Randy Jones, the Putnam County Highway Superintendent. He is the first highway superintendent I've had on this show, and I've been wanting to have him on and some others just to talk about their office and so much they do for counties. They're so important to our infrastructure in the county and other operations. Randy, last budget year for the Putnam County Commission, there was a tax increase, 19.6 cents. You benefited a little bit with 1 cent of that. It's probably never enough, but it was a little bit to help you. You have a need. You always want to have needs. What were you able to use that money for?
Well, the county has a step raise, that the employees, gets a $600 a year, step raise every year. So it usually by the time you, do your step raises, insurance is always going up, mostly the money that we received from this increase in our budget was for personnel insurance and longevity pay and everything.
I'll brag on the commission a little bit. I think one of the good things they've been able to do for their employees is if an insurance premium has went up for the employee, they've usually been able to cover it somehow.
They help a lot.
Yeah, and it's they're not taking their step raise and having to cover the insurance. The county's picked up a lot in times in the past, the actual premium increase, so the employee didn't have to. So I think that's good. I think, and I, of course, I'm a commissioner, but I'm pro-employee as well, and the county don't operate without good staff. And
that's
without
true.
Good benefits, you don't get good staff. So
if you don't have good people, then the people's what makes me look good.
Yeah, and I'll say this. A lot of the people I worked with, they're 22, 23 years ago are still there at the highway department. So good people, good hard workers out there every day. So, and in most cases for your budget, personnel is the biggest part, biggest expense in
That's
your budget.
True.
I think at one time I know at one time Red kept more employees on during the spring and summer, and then he would downsize in the winter, but you actually got a set staff where you can keep them going in the winter working as well.
Well, we only have 37 employees, and we have 700 mile of road to work on. So in winter time, when we break things down, I'll start a brush crew is what I call it. We have a bucket truck and a grapple bucket truck, and we'll just go down a road that's all grown up, and they'll start sawing and cutting and cleaning up, and they'll just cut a lot of debris and overhanging stuff that through the winter time. And then, of course, we have to have extra patching crew during the winter. So, you know, I don't have too many people.
And yeah, 37 people for a county this size with that many miles of roads. That is on the low end, because I'm not going to name any counties. I don't want anybody getting upset at me. There are counties that are a tenth the size we are that have 40 employees plus. And that's tough for a county that's small and not many miles. There's a lot of employees going. So you've managed your staff real well in that aspect. But your equipment, too, there's so much maintenance. That after employees, with maintenance and paving would be a big expense for you. But the maintenance of equipment, that's a big part of your budget.
Yes, it is, trying to keep everything up safe. You've got to keep equipment before when you go to use it, it is operable, but you got to keep it safe for the employees too. You know, it's not only just the maintenance of it, but it's keeping everything where when you do use it, you keep all your employees safe. We like to everybody to come home with the afternoon.
Yeah, I've been there. One of the things I remember doing during a storm one summer is we worked till 9-10 o'clock that night getting trees out of the road, and we were soaking wet. We didn't stay out of the storm. We were out in the middle of it and cutting up trees and getting them out of the way. And you mentioned right now you're moving a lot of brush from the roadway, and people I know are happy about that. Those areas, Randy, that flood a lot, it's not that the department and you ignore that area. There's just so much, only so much you can do.
There's so much we can do. You know, they're right beside of a stream or something that the roadbed and the stream bed's not very far different from the same elevation. And when the water gets up, it has to come right down the road. And there, you know, the hills are coming right down on each side, and there's no place else to have a road.
Yeah. And so your budget, and as we said, last year you were able to actually bring in over $5 million, a little bit over $5 million in revenue and spend $4 million. And as we said, that changes. But your fund balance is pretty decent, around $2 million at the time the year closed. But it's so important to have that in there. And the reason is, ice storm of 2015, flooding, you know, overtime is a big expense when those things happen. So if you have that in your fund balance, you're not having to go borrow money to remove trees or to fix roads from flooding and icing and all that. You've got that cash available. You can go ahead and get done now.
2010, when I came in office, I came in office in May of the 10th. The big storm in Nashville was May the 9th that flooded Nashville. We didn't get it that bad. But the fall of 2010, we had major structure damage out north of town. You know, we didn't lose any bridges or anything, but approaches and just a lot of debris and everything. And we worked through that with our fund balance and then some money from FEMA, and we didn't have to ask the county commission to help us with it. I had a project on Mill Creek. It was about $1.5 million. We had a fund balance. We handled most of it. The county did contribute on it about $400,000, but other than that, you know, we usually work off our fund balances.
And the county is able to do that through their capital projects fund, and that's why I always stress how important it is to have that kind of fund with the cash in it to help you out or help another department out when emergency hits. We hope and pray an ice storm don't come like it did 5 years ago, because that sent everybody in the county out. Everybody in the county is working. Your department, EMS, fire, sheriff's office.
No, rescue squad, everybody.
Rescue squad, that's right. Rescue squad. Everybody was out working. So we, you know, but it's important to have money. And now FEMA did come in and reimburse, but how long does it take FEMA to get you some money back, Randy?
Well, FEMA comes in and they come in and they make good promises and they're going to just help you right out. And about 3 or 4 years later, you'll start getting a little money, and it don't never, you don't get reimbursed for everything you do. You know, it still costs a lot of money when FEMA comes in. These states where they have these large disasters and they talk about FEMA, I feel sorry for those people that lives there.
I remember back before 2014, I guess it was, when Ernest Garrison was still in office in Clay County. You remember Ernest? They were affected by that flood in 2010, Cumberland River up there, and it took them 2.5 years to get money back from FEMA. And
yes,
he'd almost forgotten about it and given up, and he got this check one day, and he called me and said, "Ben, we finally got our money." And it was like Christmas for him. Yeah, he had already paid for the work and used his fund balance to pay for it, because up there in Clay County, the county commission does not support the highway department through local funds. It's all gasoline motor fuel tax, which it is in a lot of my counties in Upper County. But that FEMA process is slow, and there's a lot of documentation that goes with it. You got to have somebody on staff to make sure they allocate manpower and hours worked towards that project, what equipment you use towards it, and that's where that cost reimbursement comes from. And it's just a process.
Pictures and documentation, that's what FEMA's about. When you first have a disaster, start taking pictures right there, because one picture's worth 1,000 words, they say. And in FEMA, it really does make a big difference.
Is there one road that floods more than any in the county that you can name, or is there just a couple?
Mill Pond. It's bad. Martin's Creek. Carrington.
Right below where I live.
Right.
Right below in my area. So we talked about winter months. Summer, you're obviously trying to pave as much as you can. You got a crew doing that. It costs to pave. For you now, what does it cost to pave 1 mile of road in Putnam County?
For us to do it?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically about the same price. We can pave a mile of road for about $75,000.
Mm-hmm. I remember when it used to be around $50,000.
Cost
have went up.
Mr. Lamb, at one time, he paved a lot of roads. Mr. Lamb did, and he could pave for like $27 a ton, and it costs us it cost us about $60 for the cheap.
It's almost triple.
Almost triple, wow. And he would put $1 million into contract services, and that's what we try to put in too. So, you know, he was working on about the same money, but it just costs so much more.
If somebody wants a tile put in, what are they supposed to do?
Well, they contact our office. They go, they contact us and tell us where their address, and they purchase a tile and tell us where they purchase it at, and we go pick it up and we'll install it for them. For, you know, if it's a new residence or they have one existing that they won't take out, we'll pick it up and install it, put a little rock on it.
That's great information. We got one more segment left with you, Randy. It's flown by for me. Got a few more things to talk about when we come back. You're listening to News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. This has been Rogers, and I'll be back with Randy Jones, Putnam County Highway Superintendent. Welcome back to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM. This has been Rogers, your host, and I'm with Randy Jones, the Putnam County Highway Superintendent. Randy, you've done a great job explaining to me and to our listeners about all the things your department does, and how much you're maintaining roads and building roads. And that's something I actually didn't ask you. How often is it that you have to actually build a road anymore?
Well, we're not in the road building business. We're in the maintaining. We don't have enough money in our budget to be building roads. Sometimes we have a road that we can widen and make more accessible and everything. But as far as this building, we're not in the road building business.
And you're not allowed to work on a road unless that road has been approved by the county commission and added to the county road list and to the county map. I know I've been in your office a couple of times about roads in my area, and you said, well, Ben, that road ends right here, and this is a driveway, and I technically, by law, I can't go work on that driveway. And that's the law. So once a road is added to the road list by the county commission, you're allowed to work on it.
I'm allowed to work on it if it's in our system. Yes, I am.
But that doesn't mean you're mandated to work on it as well. You may not have the money. Maybe a project you got to wait to build up money. So, and that's one thing. That's one confusion. I actually got a call last week about a road, not in our county, but in another county. Well, we just added this. You know, the commission added. It was a citizen. The commission added this my road to the road list, but they haven't done anything. The highway department hadn't done anything to it. Well, they technically don't have to, you know. I mean, they're in the maintenance business of roads, but if they can't get there with the money and do what they got to do, they're going to have to wait. And some people don't understand that. But you're doing the best you can to get to everything.
Yeah, so, you know, we have roads that are priorities. You know, we got a lot of roads that are heavily traveled, and we have to – they're the ones that you have to keep
sure
maintained and up good – up to par. And then, you know, if you take that $5 million that our budget is and divide that by 700, you don't get but about, I think about $50 or $60 a mile.
Right.
And, you know, you can't even gravel road for that. Yeah. So, you know, it's just a lot of things that we have to do, and you have to take in consideration of where it's at and how many residents are on it. And we try to keep everything up as good as we can. And, of course, with our paving now, we're going to try to some of these oil and chip roads we're going to try to do away with and pave. They've just been patched and patched to death, you know.
Right.
And we're going to try to do some paving on some of these roads. And it's going to be a big asset for us.
And so I want to make sure everybody understands how important your office is. You are basically in charge of the infrastructure of our county. These roads that are out in the county, they're roads you're maintaining. And there's often debates or conversations about what department in the county should get the most money or who should be benefited from a tax increase. I'm not tooting my own horn, but you can say that I've said several times in commission meetings, well, we can't forget about the highway office or the highway superintendent, because without good maintained roads, your sheriff deputies cannot travel as good as they do. Your EMS, ambulance service cannot travel. Your school buses cannot travel as well. Bad roads cause maintenance to their vehicles. Impaired roads may limit them from getting to a student or to a citizen that needs help. Your functions and services are so important to the county, a lot of times it goes unnoticed and the focus is on other things. So, first of all, thank you for what you do. I just want to make sure everybody understands that's so important. Our infrastructure is so important. That's why the Improve Act come about, to help with the infrastructure. But we have to make sure maintaining roads is a priority.
We do. And, you know, we work close with the sheriff's office and more basically with the school bus because, you know, they travel a lot of the some of the gravel roads and some of the roads that are not well maintained as the main roads are. And, you know, Miss Kim Bradford, she's all the time calling saying, hey, we got a road down there that needs the limbs are hitting her bus, or we got potholes on this road, or we need a bus turnaround fixed. And, you know, we work pretty close with all the other departments.
And you do a great job. Projects you have done, you talked a little bit about some projects you've accomplished since you've been in Mill Creek Road was a big one. What are some other things y'all have accomplished, big projects that you can say, hey, this was something that was in need and we finally got to it and got it done?
Well, say Poplar Grove Bridge, but Mr. Lamb had that already in play when I came to be the road supervisor. Of course, a bridge that big takes several. I think it was $1.5 million bridge, and it's a state aid funded bridge, and we only get like $65,000 a year from the state for a state aid money in the bridge department. And it's just like having a piggy bank. You've got to put a lot of money in that piggy bank to build $1.5 million bridge.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we got accomplished. And several roads this time. We have state aid roads that we have paved. I can't think of anything.
Well, and one of the roads or projects you're working on now in my area is the Elmore Town Bridge.
Elmore Town Bridge, yes. It was an issue between us and Baxter, and Baxter didn't have the funding to do it. So they de-annexed the bridge and give it back to the county, and we have a structure in place down there right now. They're pouring concrete, and hopefully in about another 30, 45 days, we'll have that completed.
And that's big for me because that's my area. And one of the first things I got asked when I come in 2014 as commissioner is, when are you going to fix this road? And that's one of the first phone calls I made to you. Randy, what we need to do? And you said, there's nothing I can do. It's in the city of Baxter, and you're not allowed to work on the road in a city like that.
No,
and
I can't work on nothing that belongs to the city of Cookeville, Monterey, Baxter, all good. And they can't work on mine either.
Right, and I think people get confused on that. But, you know, last year we made the effort as a commission to discuss and talk with the city of Baxter, and they decided to de-annex. And now, ever since, and you've been working on it since day one pretty much, it's close to being done. Of course, water washes away down there too, and it's been a little bit difficult to work, but it'll be done hopefully, like you said, soon. What are some projects coming up, Randy, that you're trying to hopefully start on that it's in need in the county?
Bridgeway. I have a bridge out in Poplar Grove area that when it was inspected 2 years ago, it was up to par, and now they inspected it last year, and they say it's a deficiency, and it's a top priority to have something done to it. It went from a 15-ton bridge to a 5-ton load limit. So, and it's probably $1 million bridge from the time you get through with it. So,
and you can use state aid money on that, correct?
Yes.
But you're still only getting so much money a year, and if you don't use it, it just stays in that, as we say, piggy bank.
We don't lose it.
Don't lose it.
It just bills in the state aid fund. So,
and the state's been good about decreasing the match the county has. Used to be they provide 80% fund and the county has to come up with 20. For the last few years, it's 98% the state will fund and only the county has to put in 2%. So that's a big help to the counties.
That's true.
But the money's not coming in $1 million at a time. It's slowly got to build up.
No, and this Elmore Town Bridge we're talking about is the Poplar Grove Bridge deleted our bridge fund. And now we've got enough built up to do this Elmore Town Bridge. And by the time we get it done, we're going to be back down close to zero again in our bridge fund. So,
well, hopefully the legislature will come up with some more money for state aid to these counties so they can help on projects like that. That would be ideal. Randy, before we go, I am going to ask you one random question. I know what you like to do, but some of the listeners, when you're not working, which you work a lot, I don't know of a time you're when I call you, you're not working. What's your favorite hobby?
Well, I like to fish a little bit and play with my grandkids.
What do you like to fish for?
Oh, we do a little cat fishing in the summertime. Have a little picnic, and we catch up a bunch of catfish through the summer.
Where's your favorite place to catch catfish?
Oh, we go down to what we call a Denny Bottom.
Yep, good place to go. Your wife, Jan, I forgot to mention her. She's an absolute wonderful lady, and I should have mentioned her first, so I apologize, Jan, you listening, and Randy. Absolutely by your side the whole way, been one of your biggest supporters, and I always tell her, you know, make sure you tell Randy, and we appreciate him and wanting to be here, and she's, you know, she does. So
yeah.
I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
You got anything else for us?
I've had that one up for 35 years.
Yep, she's a good one. You've been listening to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. Join me next week as I'll have with me Interim Director of Schools Corby King, County Mayor Randy Porter, and Sheriff Eddie Ferris. And we'll be in discussing the construction of a new jail or add-on to the current jail and the construction possibly of a new school. The commission's discussing that. We've met with the Board of Education. We've met with the Sheriff and Mayor Porter to talk. Things are getting down to decision time, and we're going to cover all that next week on the episode of Trending. That would be next Friday at 8 a.m. on News Talk 94.1 FM at 1600 AM. I hope everybody has a good weekend. Thank you to my producer, Billy Mack, and we'll see you next week.